Hello and welcome to Finance Rules, the Eigenberger and Weiner Financial News Radio Show on the Incandescent Radio Network. This monthly podcast offers insights into some of the top trends and events happening in the financial markets. Today we are here with Brian Beatty, a partner at Eigenberger and Weiner. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, your host and founder of the Incandescent Radio Network. And today we are talking with Brian about a topic that some people may not even be aware of. In fact, there were recent changes this summer called Clark versus Remaker in the Supreme Court level that have changed IRAs. And this is something Brian is an expert on. So let's talk to you a little bit about what happened this summer.
Well, this summer there was a court case in bankruptcy law where traditionally IRAs would receive an exemption from a bankruptcy case to the tune of $1 million. In this particular scenario, because it was an inherited IRA, the court ruled that it would not be exempt from this bankruptcy case. I think it's going to change the way a lot of people view beneficiary relationships on retirement plan accounts.
So tell us exactly what happened. The way you explained it to me, that IRAs and Roth IRAs, which are known as retirement funds, have an exemption under Section 522 of the Bankruptcy Code.
Correct. So traditionally what happens, you know, if you're married, you would make your spouse your beneficiary first, and then you would have a contingent beneficiary, maybe your children or something like that. And in the case of even a spousal inheritance, the way to keep the creditor protection in the case of a spouse is you actually make the IRA your own IRA. Now, a spouse can do that, but a non-spouse cannot do that. So what a non-spouse has to do is different from what a spouse can do, where a spouse can make it their own IRA. A non-spouse actually has to go through the extra step of creating a trust, which will direct the asset to the beneficiary. And then that trust will provide the creditor protection.
So does this present a challenge to the old way of doing things?
Well, sure. First off, most folks don't have a trust. And most people that I talk to don't really understand what a trust is.
Fair enough. I'm raising my hand.
So when you describe the idea that, well, you're going to have a trust be involved in your beneficiary on your retirement plan, it's somewhat intimidating. So you're probably going to need to get the help of a professional, an estate planning attorney, and probably also the help of your financial advisor, because you're going to be dealing with changing the beneficiaries on beneficiary forms for the financial institution you work with, as well as constructing a trust which must contain special language that addresses retirement plan assets distinct from other assets in the estate.
So how does this impact, you may have said this earlier, but how does this impact non-spousal IRA beneficiaries?
Well, a non-spouse cannot make an IRA their own IRA. There's only one way to actually inherit. It's called an inherited IRA. That way it inherits some characteristics of the original owner of the IRA. For example, if it was under distribution already, it would continue to be under distribution to the inheritor of the IRA. And if it's not under distribution, it would be subject to the rules that surround distributions of IRAs when they are inherited. So now the thing that happens when you make the beneficiary a trust is that it will actually act as the creditor protection that was afforded a regular IRA when it was the original owners.
So should we be careful about appointing a general trust as a beneficiary?
When a general trust doesn't address distributions by the type of account, for example, a trust might read, make a $50,000 contribution to Uncle Joey, or it might read, make a distribution of $10,000 to my three favorite charitable organizations. But it doesn't say what asset to use. And in some cases, the IRS has viewed this as indistinguishable from the retirement plan asset and considered that to be cause for distribution from an IRA. And in order to avoid that, you want to include specific language that looks through the trust to the beneficiary of the IRA so that it continues to actually identify with the ultimate beneficiary.
So what else should we be aware of?
You also want to be aware of the fact that creating a trust is not something you should do on your own. It's quite complex, and it does cost money. But in many cases, the amount of money that it costs to draft a trust is worth its weight in gold from the standpoint of control over the asset and creditor protection. And each individual has to weigh whether or not they want to go through this extra step of working with trusts. And that's going to require the help of a professional.
So give us three things that we need to know about this topic.
Three things we need to know about this topic. Well, first and foremost, you want to make sure that you update your beneficiaries on a regular basis. It's actually not uncommon for me to run across an individual who has an ex-spouse still listed as a beneficiary on either their retirement plan or in some cases their life insurance. As well, if you don't already work with an advisor, you should have a plan for your estate distribution, as well as a retirement plan. And so I would recommend you get started today.
Okay, very good. We are talking to Brian Beatty about IRAs and Roth IRAs and a new twist that the Supreme Court threw at us this summer. So thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
For any questions on this topic and others relating to retirement planning, you can contact Brian Beatty at bbeatty, B-B-E-A-T-T-Y, at ebwllc.com. And for more information about the firm, log on to www.ebwfinancialnews.com. We look forward to talking to Brian and the other financial planners and advisors here, and we'll talk to you next month.